Kuf Chaf Hey Amir Aleph, and we're up to Tanur Rabbanon, and that's the two dots approximately 9 lines down from the top of the Amud. Shivrei Tanur Yashan. So you've used this oven in the past, and now it's broken, and you have pieces of the oven. And the Brisa says, Arein Kechol HaKelim Anitolim B'chotzer. In other words, you're allowed to be metaltel these shivrei tanur, just like you're allowed to be metaltel kelim in a chotzer. And we said that according to Rav Nachman and Rava back on Daf Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Beis, they were matir tiltul of shivrei kelim even in a karmelis. And even in a Rishus HaRabim, within Dalet Amos, of course. And therefore, the word Bechotzer here is Lav Dafka. That's what Tosfos points out here in the second. Now, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Nitolim, he's opposed to moving the broken parts of a Tanur. Heid Rabbi Yossi Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov Al Shivrei Tanur Yashan Shenitolim V'Shabbos. So we have now testimony to support the Psak of Rabbi Meir about Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov V'Al Kisuyo, and as far as the covering over the Tanur, right, in those days the Tanur had an opening up on top. And on that opening, there was a covering so that the heat of the oven, inside the oven, would not dissipate into the air. And what they used to do is, after they put the dough into the oven, they would cover the whole the opening over the oven to keep the heat inside and trap it. She'eino tzarech beis yad. In other words, if you want to be matir tiltul in the kisa, you don't need a handle. And that reflects the sheet of Rabbi Yossi later on Daf Kuf Chaf Vav Amud Beis. The Tanakhama there is going to disagree. He thinks that you need a Beis Yad in order to be Matir Tiltul of Shivrei Tanur. But Maiko Mifki, what's the Machlokus all about between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? Omer Abaye, Bi Osim Me'ein Malacha V'ein Osim Me'ein Malachto Ka Mifki. They're arguing about Shvarim, where you could use it for some Malacha, but not for the original Malacha, or not even similar to the original Malacha. The original Malacha of a Tanur is for baking. You can't bake in a broken piece of the Tanur. However, you could use it for other purposes. And Azda Rabbi Yehuda Litameh, Rabbi Yehuda is very consistent with his opinion in our Mishnah, that you're not allowed to move a shever kli unless you can do mein malachta rishona, something similar to the original malach. Rabbi Meir l'tamei, Rabbi Meir is also consistent with his view in our Mishnah that you're allowed to move tilte to be metaltel shivrei kelim as long as you can do some sort of malacha with it. It still retains its shame kli. There's no isur mix, even if it's not malachta or rishona. And the Tanakhama said this din, but the klal of Stam Mishnah ki Rabbi Meir means that Rabbi Meir was the one who taught this din. And the chiddush of our Braisa, above and beyond the Mishnah, is that even in the case of kli shemalachta le'isa, like a tanur, Rabbi Meir's matir, tiltal of shvarim, if you could do any sort of malacha with it, even to cover over a utensil. Now Rava has a kasha here on Abaye. Maskif le Rava Ihochi. If what you say is true, the machlokes in this brisa, it reflects the machlokes in our mission as far as Shivrei Kelim, is that Adam Miflig, Shivrei Tanur, Liflugu Bechol Shivrei Kelim Bialma. Why does the brisa have to hone in and specify Shivrei Tanur? This is a general machlokes that applies to any klisha malachta l'isa that got broken. Would you be allowed to be metal to the shvarim or not? So why do they have to argue about shivrei tanur? Elo Amarov, based on this question, Rava is compelled to offer a different insight into the machlokas about Shivrei Tanur in such a way that it's dafka b'Shivrei Tanur, and that is b'Shivrei Dahai Tanur Kamifugi. The machlokas is about the broken parts of the Tanur, which is Asui, which is made Ke'ein Zeh, that has a machlokas as far as Tumah V'Tara in the Mishnah in Masechta Kelim. Disnan, we have a Mishnah in Kelim as far as Tumas Tanur. Those Tanurim, again, in those days, were made like a pot, but it didn't have a bottom to it, you know, a floor to it. And they would put things on the floor inside the tanur, and they would put cement around the karka to make sure that no heat would go out. And this is called a tfela. So the Mishnah in Kelim says the following. Nisano, if he puts into the tanur al pi abor or al pi adus, he has a digging that is able to hold up the stone wall, and he places his tanur on the opening of this we'll call it a pit or some sort of opening in the ground, the kosar tanur, minasan sham, and between the different walls of the tanur and the dfanos of the bar, evan, so he puts a stone here, and he pushes it in, squeezes it in, and his purpose now is to give the tanur an ability to stand in the air, above the bar, so it doesn't fall into the bar. So now, is this tanur, which is suspended above the bar in the air, is it makabel tumah, is it not? Rav Yehuda Omer, it depends. If this oven is laid down in a way that masik milamata, in other words, the oven is sitting on the floor of this pit, but it could be heated from above, that's called milamala. So in such a case, just one second. In such a case, if it's nisok milamala, right, so you could heat up the oven, and let's say masik milamata vi nisok milamala, so he lights the fire underneath the oven, meaning on the floor of this pit, and nisok milamala, it will be heated up on top, above. And basically what he's saying is that you have a way of effectively, again, you know, let's say the oven is snug into the mouth of the pit, and he has a thin stone to wedge it in, to make sure that it's secure. So there's no real gap through which the heat can escape. So the pit is shallow. The heat rises from the fire on the floor of the pit through the open bottom of the oven, and that's sufficient enough for baking. Or let's say the oven is narrow on the bottom than it is, more narrow on the bottom than it is on the top. Or let's say the pit is wider on the bottom than on top. So the oven could be suspended inside the pit. That's the main point here, inside the pit. So the heat will envelop the oven, penetrate through its walls, and making baking in that oven possible. And then, tumah. That means it's susceptible to tumah, because since this oven is wedged in such a way that you could heat it effectively in its position as it's positioned now, then it is considered attached to the ground, and therefore it's susceptible to tumah. However, im lav, in other words, if let's say he would light a fire on the floor of the pit but it's not going to generate enough heat inside the oven to allow the oven to function and bake, but rather he has to light a fire inside the oven itself. Maybe he has a makeshift floor or so, he puts something inside the oven so he could light the fire inside the oven. That kind of an oven is not makabel tumah. It's not susceptible to tumah. And the Gemara is going to explain this, that this is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, and he has a pasuk, and he derives from that pasuk that a tanur is only susceptible to tumah if it's attached to the ground to some measure. So if it's just wedged into the mouth of the pit, then it's only considered attached if it passes the barometer test, meaning it could be heated by the fire on the floor of the pit. If not, you need fire inside the pit, then it's not considered mechuber lekarka, meaning it's not considered attached to the ground. So whether it's attached to the ground depends upon whether you could heat it up from the outside. The Chachamim Omrim Hoil Vahusak Mikomakom Tomei. So the Chachamim say you don't have to have this Tanai that the Tanur has to be attached to the ground in order to make it susceptible to Tumah. Again, everybody agrees that it's only susceptible to Tumah if when you heat it up and the heating completes the hardening of the oven walls. So let's say the first time around that it's heated up and it completes the hardening of the oven walls, then it's makabel tumah. Whether or not you have to go a step further and say, well, it's got to be attached to the ground, that depends upon Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Ubimaika miflagi. The high kra, we have a pasuk in Vayikra, Perik Yud Aleph. Tanur v'kirayim yutatz. Tmeim heim, utmeim yulachem. And what it means is, just translating it, they are tame, and they shall remain tame. Tmeim heim, utmeim. Right, there's a double language here. So the pasuk is talking about tanur v'kirayim, and it became tame, and now we have to destroy it. That's called netitza. How do we read this pasuk? How do we darshan this pasuk? Rabbi Yehuda Savar, he looks at the language of yutatz, and that's a lashon that's shayach b'harisas dover mechuber lekarka. It has a specific, it's appropriate for something that's attached to the ground. And therefore we're going to derive the conclusion that mechusar netitza tomei. In other words, since the Torah says that if it contracted tumah, then you have to do netitza, you have to smash it, you have to break it up, then it means that we're talking about something that is mechuber lekarka. And if it's mechuber lekarka, then you could talk about mechusar netitza. Okay, it's missing the chibur to the karka. I'm saying, what I mean is, mechusa netitza means it's something that could be destroyed from the karka, removed from the karka, baharisa mina mechubil karka, but it's got to be mechubil karka. And then, and only then, is it tome. So if you have this tanur, which we said was heated up by the hesek bar, you were able to, on the outside, light the fire in the bar, that's already, shall we call it, mechusa netitza. That's already karov lios mechubar. But if you have a tanur that has no chibur to the karka whatsoever, is ein hu mechusa netitza. In other words, you can't use the word netitza, which means to smash something that's attached to the ground. And here you have something that's not karov lekarka. So then there's no netitza, and you cannot fulfill the pasuk tanur v'kirayim yutatz, and therefore it's tar. So that is the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that you need something that's mechubel lekarka, or at least close to being mechubel lekarka. Rabbanan Savri, Tmeim Yu Lachem, on the same pasuk, there's a certain redundancy. It says Tmeim Yu Lachem, and then it says Tmeim Heim. And this is coming to be Marbe to include a Tanur in the Parsh of Tuma Mikomakom, even if the Tanur cannot really be Mitukon Legamre, in the sense that it doesn't have a chibur to karka, it's even far away from the karka. And the Rabbanan say that it is tame. So we have a ribui for a tanur mikomakom, even if it has no attachment, no chibur to the karka. Might even be far away from the karka. So the Gemara asked the Kasha, V'rabbanan nami hoksiv yutatz. And we said that the language of yutatz is applicable to something that's mechubel karka. So what are the Rabbanan going to do with that yutatz? The Gemara answers, Ahu, what it says yutatz, it's not coming to teach us a kula, to exclude something that's not mechubel karka, but rather le'idach gisa. On the contrary, it's coming to teach me a chumra. And even a tanur, which is mechubel lekarka, is mekabel tuma. The salka d'atechamino, in other words, now the Rabbanon are using yutatz lechumra to teach you that even a tanur, which is mechubel lekarka, is mekabel tuma. And why do we need that chumra for? What was the havamina that if it's mechubel karka, would not be mekabel tuma? Salka daita chamina, I would have thought the kevon de chabre bi'ara, once he attaches the oven to the karka, then like any tanur which is made properly and it's mechubel karka, it doesn't have a din of a kli that's mekabel tuma. Elikagufa the Aradami. It should really have the status of karka. And karka is not makabal tuma. So, for example, a bias. It's mechubla karka, it's not makabal tuma. We would have thought that likewise a tanur, that's mechubla karka, it's not makabal tuma. Kamash balon, the Torah with the word yutatz, is coming to teach you that even a tanur that's mechubla karka, which lends itself to netitza, is makabal tuma. And how much more so, a tanur goes without saying, she'ena mechubel karka, and it's not included in the word netitza. Certainly it's a kli gomur if it's not mechubel karka, and therefore it's mekabel tuma. And therefore in the case of the tanur, she'nesono al pi abor or pi adus, the chachomim are going to say that it's tomei, even if you need a hasaka mibifnim, and it's not really attached to the karka, you can't light the fire from inside the bar and heat up the oven. V'idach nami, now we turn around to Rabbi Yehuda, and what's he going to do with this drush, with these tevos? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, he disagrees with Chachom, he holds that only a tanur that's mechubel karka, which lends itself to the teacher's makabel tuma. Haksiv, what are we going to do with the extra pasuk Tmeim Yu Lachem? And Tmeim Yu Lachem, as we saw in the Chachamim, is a ribui. Now, what are you being marbe? According to you, Rabbi Yehuda, that only a tanur which is mechubel karka is mekabel tuma. Hahi, that extra redundancy, so to speak, of Tmeim Yulachem is coming to teach you the din of Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel. And that din Tumah. Diom Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel, Machlokes, the Machlokes Shin Rabbi Yehuda and Chachom is Behesek Rishon, Abel Behesek Sheni, Afilu Toli Betzava Gomel, in a Hesek Rishon situation where he's fired up this oven for the first time, and it's on top of a bar. Here's where Rabbi Yehuda says that this tanur is not considered mechubel karka, and it's not considered a kli as far as Kabbalah's tumah is concerned. That's only behesek rishon, the first time that he heats up the oven on the bar. Avol behesek sheni, if he already in the past has used the oven and heated it up, so he already generated a shame kli on the oven. Now he takes it from its place, he puts it down on the bar, and he wants to heat it up over there, and now it became tame. Is afilu toli v'tzavar gomol there, if it's not samuch to the karka, even if it's toli v'tzavar gomol, is nevertheless lo pako mimenu toras kabolas tuma. Until he breaks it, it still is included in the parasha of Kabbalah's Tumah V'Keli. The Alkein Nemar Tmei Miulachem B'Kfeilus Rabos Shetomei Afi Ofen Azeh, that it's Tomei even in this case of Hesek Rishon, but not in the case of Hesek Sheni. So let's just give a summary of this piece of Gemara over here that we just learned, and we're saying the following. That what is Rabbi Yehuda going to do with the pasuk Tmeim Yulachem, which would seem to be a ribui to include even a tanur that's not attached to the ground and it's susceptible to tumah? So the Gemara answers, Ki Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shmuel, and we're talking about limiting the machlokas between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda, and it only applies to the first heating of the oven, because that first heating of the oven makes it into a kli, and therefore it's now susceptible to tumah. The walls are hardened, and now it could be classified as a utensil. So Rabbi Yehuda's argument that a tanur is susceptible to tumah if it's attached to the ground, that only is relevant to the first heating of the oven. And he basically is holding that it's not fit to become classified as a functional utensil until it's attached to the ground. And therefore, Basik Sheni, if he heats it up a second time around, is then, Rabbi Yehuda would admit that it now has attained its status as a utensil. So he got a shame kli because it was heated up while it was attached to the ground on the first round. And that status as a kli, lekabel tumah, will be retained even if subsequently he took it out of the ground, he detached it, and he put it, as we said before, al pi bar. It still remains susceptible to kabbalah's tumah, and if he put it down loosely on the mouth of the pit, then even if he suspended it in the air, it would still be mekabel tumah. And behesek sheni, when we're talking about hesek sheni, then Rabbi Yehuda concedes that it's already got a shame kli, and therefore, even if it's detached from the ground, it remains susceptible to Kabbalah's tumah. So Hesek Sheni is the area that's common to both the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. Omar Ula, the Hesek Rishon L'Rabbanon. Okay, so let's go back to the first heating. And now the oven becomes susceptible to tumah. Let's look at the Shita of the Rabbanon. They don't require that it be mechubel lekarka, be attached to the ground, and therefore afilu toli bitzavar gamal, even it's suspended from the neck of a camel for heating, it's still going to be mekabel tumah. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we'll get to Ula in just a second, because what I want to explain is really Ula, basically. According to Rabbi Yehuda, when you talk about deriving from utats that you need an oven that is attached, and that's because if it's not attached, it's detached, it's not going to function properly, and it doesn't have the status of a kli, and it's not mekabel tumah. once you attach it to the ground for the first heating, which is called Hesek Rishon, then even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that it has attained its status, its classification as a kli, and it retains that status even if later on you detach it from the ground. The Rabbanan hold that yutats, or let's leave out the word yutats for a minute, let's lose function on tamei ulachem. That pasuk is going to teach us that even an oven that was never attached to the ground is considered a kli, and it's royal kabel tuma, even though it's got a poor quality. And then when we have the pasuk yutats, that's going to teach us that even an oven that's attached to the ground is susceptible to tuma, unlike other kelim, which are kelim to bekabel tuma because they're not attached to the ground. So that's what Ula says, that with regard to Hesek Rishon, we don't care, according to the Rabbanan, exactly where you heat up this oven. That's not relevant, according to the Rabbanan. And basically, the Ribui is that we don't require attached to the ground, and the Gemara uses this very idiomatic hyperbole of afilu toli b'tzaver gemal. It's so detached from the ground that it's suspended from the neck of a camel. In any event, what it comes out is Rabbi Yehuda holds that if you have a new oven, you cannot generate a shame kli for Kabbalah's tumah until it's attached to the ground for that first heating. According to Chacham, on the other hand, it becomes classified as a kli, and it's makabel tumah, regardless of where he does the first heating, whether he does it attached to the ground, or whether he does it when it's hanging on the bar. So Rava tells us that this machlokes can find its expression even with regard to the laws of mukta in the brice that we mentioned before. Right, the brice is talking about shivrei tanur, right, broken shards of an oven that was heated up for the first time and it was detached from the ground and then it was broken. So Rabbi Yehuda doesn't consider the oven to be a kli while it's intact. And in the case of shards, you cannot consider it utensils, and therefore they have to be mukta. But Rabbi Meir holds, concurring again with the Chachamim, that consider an oven as a utensil, as a kli, and therefore he holds that when it breaks, the shards are not mukta. So in the light of Rava's interpretation of the Braisa, let's take a look at Maskiflo Ravashi Hochi Ad Miflegi B'Shivrei Tanur is Liflegi B'Tanur Gufa. Right, so Rava wants to say that we isolate this machlokis here between Rav Meir and the Chachamim to the case of a Tanur. That's fine. So Rabbi Meir, let's say, holds like the Chachamim, who always considered a tanur, a utensil, even if it's not attached. And therefore, if the tanur is broken, the shards are not mukta. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda doesn't consider an oven a utensil while it's intact because it's not mechubar, but in that particular case. And the shards, therefore, are also not considered a utensil, and therefore they're mukta. But Rav Ashi wants to know, why argue about Shivrei Tanur? Let's argue about the Tanur itself. In other words, even if the Tanur is whole, it's intact, it's not damaged, is Hashta Tanur Gufal Rav Yehuda Lo Avimana? Is Shvarav Miboy? The Tanur itself is not considered a kli, according to Rav Yehuda. And even if it's whole and it's complete, it's not a kli, it's not mechubel karka. So how do you know, if you break up the tanur into its segment parts, into its shards, then for sure those are not going to be mekabel tuma if the original oven is not mekabel tuma. So therefore, Rav Ashi comes back to reinterpret the brayso. Amar Rav Ashi, Li'olam kedamar meikar. Let's go back to our original understanding that the machlokes with regard to shvarim is about what if the shvarim are only suitable or only fit to function in some general purpose, but not for their original formal task for which they were created, would be osa maisa tapka. And this machlokas pertains particularly to where the shards can be used for baking in the manner of tiles, right? They used to take a dough and they would heat the tile from underneath, and they would bake a dough that was resting on the tile. And here's the machlokes. Rabbi Meir l'dvarav de Rabbi Yehuda ka'amar. Rabbi Meir is focused on this case according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Lidi di, according to my understanding, is afilu osim me'ein molacha, even if they can be used for any sort of purpose. But el didach, your opinion is that you have to have ke'ein molach to rishono, that meaning you, Rabbi Yehuda, is odi limia. At least admit to me that if the shards of the oven can be used for baking, like the matter of tiles, so that's considered main malachta rishona. I mean, the oven, you put the dough in the oven and it bakes and you get yourself a bread. Or alternatively, you can heat up a tile and put the dough on top of the hot tile, and that's how you'll bake your bread. So this shard can serve as a tile. For Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda lo dami, he holds that this case is not similar, or this use, I should say, is not similar to the original use. Hasam haseko mibifnim, v'hacha haseko mibachutz. You're talking about an oven is heated up from the inside, whereas a tile is heated up from the outside. And that makes them two fundamentally different types or modes of baking, and therefore we're not going to be able to say that it's me'ein malach to rishona when it's a shard. And beyond that, he says hasam mi'umad and hachalav mi'umad. That in the case where the oven was intact, so the dough is put in a standing position, and we attach it vertically to the doors of the oven. But hach, in the case where you have a shattered piece, you can't bake it in a standing position. You're going to have to lay it down. And it's on top of the shard. So once again, there's so many dissimilarities between the shvarim and the tanur that you can't say that this new function of the shard is me'ein malach to rishona. The Brisa says, Hey, Rabbi Yossi, Mishum, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, al shivrei tanur yashan, shenitolin b'shabbos. So we have this testimony that dates back to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov about the broken shards of an old oven, and the alkisuyo, or the lid that covers the opening over the oven, she'eino tzarch beis yad, that it doesn't need a handle in order to be matir tiltul. Amar Avina. Ravina says, "Keman mitaltul in idna kisui de tanure de masa de bechasia, or ke masa bechasia, the place in Bavel, and upon whom are we relying nowadays that we move the oven covers, the aimland by beisachiza, even though they have no handle? Keman Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov." And that leads us to the next Mishnah, and we're talking about mukta, which is attached to non-mukta. Ha'even shebekiyura, shebekirua, a stone that is in a guard shell. It's a dry guard shell, or dry pumpkin shells, a gourd shell. And it's used as buckets to draw water. And if the shell is light, it's not going to sink in the water unless a stone is placed to it to weigh it down. And the oven that's used, which is called the oven shebeki ruya, is meant to what was the word that we used before? to place inside this dry pumpkin shell in order to submerge it into the water so that we can draw water. Let's take a look at this gourd shell, at this kiruya. Let's use the family parameter. Can you draw water with this kiruya without the stone? And memalimba, then we're allowed to draw water with it on Shabbos. But in lav, ein memalimba. And if not, we don't draw water with it. Now this Mishnah continues on daf Kuf Chaf Hei Amud Beis. We'll, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, pick that up in the next shiur. So we're ending here on the top of Kuf Chaf Hei Amud Beis.